it might have been Tuesday. Anyways, I hurt my back, and I really could hardly walk. I was in a lot of pain, and the Lord showed me what I needed to do specifically, and I did it, and I praise God. He healed me. Yes, praise God.
Amen. It was awesome. Like, it was instantaneous. Like, well, in like a, like what, 10 or 15 minutes. It was awesome. Praise God. It was so exciting. Okay, so I put my paper up here. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I believe that I wanted the testimonies because, of course, to hear what God did in BGMC and the walkathon today was awesome. And I wanted Alice to share the testimony because as we hear testimonies of healing, the faith level rises. And as the faith rises, then God is able to do. Jesus many times said, as your faith is, be it unto you. Or, you know, and so faith is a big part. And so God is amazing. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is so good. Amen. Yes. Okay, so tonight we're talking this month about team, about being a team and how to do that. And so tonight we're talking, continuing on the edify and encourage, which is the E in team. So we're going to start with Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And I preached on this some last Sunday, but I want to start here again. And so if you want to stand, we'll read verses 11 through 12. It says, "And he himself," talking about Jesus, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." All right, you can be seated. So we know that the calling, ministry callings, come from the Lord Jesus. And the reason that we are called into the ministry, those of us that are called into the ministry, is, as I pointed out last Sunday, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. It's not so that just those that are on the stage or those that have papers with the Assemblies of God or the Church of God or whatever denomination, so that they can do the work of the kingdom. It is, we are called to spend our time equipping other people and teaching them so that they can do the work of the ministry. And of course, we're called to do the work of the ministry also, but that is part of our work, is equipping other people to do that. And for the edifying, which that, as I said last week, is an architecture word. It means architecture. It means building. It means strengthening. And so we're going to talk about that. If you put up the first slide. So if you continue in, I wasn't sure if that was big enough. We ordered a new projector, y'all. We're so excited. So this washed out projector of that, it's coming. It's on the way. So praise the Lord. That's going to be getting installed soon because it's already come in. So that's very exciting. But Ephesians 4:16, if you read 11 through 16, all of it is powerful. And I would encourage you to read that. It talks about how we need to be we need to be learning so that we're not tossed to and fro all over the place as Christians, but that we understand and that we grow up into the head. Jesus is the head of the church or the body. But I felt to kind of focus on verse 16 for a few minutes. From whom the whole body, talking about the body of Christ, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying, there's that word again, the architecture building word, of itself in love. So it says, for the building of itself in love. So the whole body, if you put up the next slide, the whole body is, well, now, and I put this building that's being built down there because buildings are being, they have to be built. Like, it is a process of building. Thank you. I kind of said that and then had already told you to switch. But there have to be footers put in the ground. There has to be a foundation laid. There have to be blocks. There have to be a roof. There have to be all of those things for building. And God is building his church and his body of Christ. So the whole body, if you go to the next slide, joined and knit together, the scripture says that we just read, by what every joint supplies. So that means we're joined by what every part does, is what the scripture is saying. Joined if you look up the word in the Greek, it also means to organize compactly. So in the same way that a building, you have to, you know, if somebody's building a house or a church building, they don't just throw the blocks out all willy-nilly wherever they want to. You know, they are organized compactly. They're put close together so that they're touching each other, usually connected to each other. And then knit together, that means compacted. It means to drive together or to unite, to compact. Like when you compact the ground down, you pack the ground, to drive together. So this is how this word, the scripture says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, so driven together by what every part supplies. So as we do the work of the ministry that God is calling us to do, which can look different. It can look like, you know, fixing things. I always call on Tony when we need something patched on the wall. I said to Michael, can you have your husband do his magic, please? And patch this big hole in the wall. Because Christina does and goes through and does all the little ones. But she's like, I need help with those. And as we do whatever it is that it is our part, both in the church and as living as Christians in our lives, when we go home, as we live as a part of the body of Christ, God teaches us how to build his body and for his kingdom to be built by what every joint supplies. And it causes growth of the body for the building of itself in love. Okay, Jude, do you want to help me? Okay, so Jude, anybody else? Olivia, any other children? You want to help me? No? Yes? You want to build for us? Okay, that's okay. So Jude, come up here. And just Jude is going to build for a couple of minutes. And he's going to build us a little building. And just put those so that people can see them. So, picture is worth a thousand words. So imagine as God is building and he is putting things in order for a building, like I said earlier, I just want you to have this picture. In order for a building to be built, the pieces have to be put together. See, some people come into the church, but they just want to stand off and do their own thing. No, I'm good. Like, I'm just going to serve God. You know, I don't need to be connected to anybody. I don't, you know, I'm just going to do my thing. You know, and people say this. I don't know if you've heard it. I've had people say, and my mom had somebody that was close to her say, you know, me and God, we have our own thing going. And she looked at him and said, no, you don't. Like, we don't get to make up our own thing. Like, we all live by the same standard, which is the Bible. The Bible is the standard. And so as Jude is putting these things together to build what he wants to, and it's so cool. You guys, I'm sure, watching him and because he's so cute and thinking how cute he is, right? Everybody, I mean, he's super cute. But imagine, like, if this was your child and you're just watching them build, like, imagine what it does for God when he sees us being built together, doing his will, stepping over things so that we can build and, you know, see his body be built. And, oh, you okay? All right. Good job. And we can put some of these up on top of here, too. And so just imagine, this is what the building of the body of Christ looks like. God, and some of the things, this is cool, some of the roles look bigger, like this block, and some of them might look smaller. But the truth is, if we are doing what we're doing as unto the Lord, even if to people it looks smaller or bigger, we're building rewards in heaven. And it's a big deal to God. You know, all seven, thank you, Jude, you did a great job. Let's give Jude a hand. All seven of my children are different. They all have different strengths and weaknesses. They have different callings. They operate in different ways. And it's beautiful. I love seeing them just do what God, you know, has called and gifted them to do. And God is the same way with us. And so I just want us to understand, this is edification. If you hear that word, sometimes we use these churchy words. If you hear the word edification or edify, it is a building word. It means to build up, like to build each other up and to encourage. It means to strengthen. It means to be being built, basically. So this, when this is happening and we're being compacted together, it causes growth of the body for the building of itself in love. This is something that we know in church. The truth is, sometimes being in church is hard. Sometimes people get on your nerves. Sometimes they do things and don't give you any gratitude. Sometimes you have to deal with attitude, and you have to deal with drama, and you have to deal with frustration, and you have to step over yourself. That is all, though, part of it. And it causes us to grow as we do that, as we forgive, as we get over ourselves, as we open ourselves up to relationship, as we connect to each other. It causes us to grow. It causes growth of the body. So I'm joined to Christina by what she does, and she's joined to Char by what her and Char do. And then she, you know, by what she supplies, and Rick's joined to Philip by what he's supplying. And it's this continual growing process and connecting process. And so as we all do our part, the Bible says that verse, if you go back to Ephesians 4:16, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So notice, love is a big part of this. But at the edifying of itself, as we do what God is calling us to do, the body grows. And that's a beautiful thing. So building each other by being connected. I don't just do my part because that's what I do. I do my part because I'm connected to God and to other people. Okay, effective working, that word, I just want to explain this word. By the effective working, it means efficiency or operation. So while we're working together, we build each other. One way that we do that is what we're talking about today, edifying and encouraging. Encourage means to give support, confidence, or hope to someone. So my body works because every part does its share. I fell like face planted out there on the playground like a month ago. And when I did, I'm assuming that I tried to catch myself with my wrist. And ever since then, like, I'm believing for God to heal it. But ever since then, like, if I try to lift something too heavy, I'm like, oh, because I think I looked it up. There are like 20 bones in this region right here. And if I just messed with one of them, how many of y'all know, like, it hurts because my body is connected. And so we need to stay, again, connected to each other. And one way that we stay connected is when we see, sometimes God will reveal that somebody's hurting. You just have a burden for that person. You just notice, man, you don't seem like yourself. When we reach out to that person, that's part of how God connects us. But also when we encourage, the word encourage means to put courage into. That's part of what God is calling us to do as the body of Christ, is to put courage into other people as they do what God is calling them to do. I miss my mom because it was a wonderful thing. Even if I felt like I just bombed it on a sermon, I could call her and be like, Mom, what did you think? Like, you know, I mean, because she would put courage back into me, you know, and that's what we need to do in the body of Christ, is we need to encourage each other. And so we have to be connected. We're driven together by what every joint supplies, because if my knee just decided, I just like bending, but I don't want to be connected to the shin. We know that's nonsense. Like, it's ludicrous. It doesn't work that way. But some people are like that in the church. They're like, no, I just like bending, but I don't want to be connected to anybody else. I just want to bend by myself. That doesn't make sense. Like, the goal is that we are connected to each other, to the Lord Jesus, and that's how we grow. That's part of the process. So in order to do your part correctly, you have to stay connected, which we know is a challenge sometimes, but that's how we grow. Okay, the second thing, and then that I want to talk about is encouraging each other. And I just want to cover these verses. We're not going to spend a long time here, but 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 18. In the New Living Translation, it says, "We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. This is another way and place that we are called to encourage each other, is when we go through hard things, especially when with the loss of a loved one, that we encourage one another. Hey, this isn't the end. We will see them again, because the dead in Christ, it says in the King James, will rise first. Those who are in their graves will rise. They will trade that old body that's gone, basically, in whatever way that it is. They will get a new body, and that, you know, so that they can live forever. So we encourage each other with these words. Talking about the rapture and the fact that Jesus is coming back for us, and that this life isn't the end. That's another way we can encourage each other. Hey, we keep going. Jesus is coming back. And all of this matters because Jesus is coming back. We will be caught up together. Okay, and then the last thing that I felt, these are just the scriptures that I felt to talk about encouraging and edifying. The last one is 1 Corinthians 14:3. I am so grateful that we have prophecy in the church, in our church, that God speaks, that we have interpretation, we have tongues and interpretation, and we have prophecy. And I want to just show you, this is what the scripture says prophecy is supposed to do. If you put it in the New King James first, we'll go to that in a minute. But he who prophesies, in the New King James, it says, he who prophesies speaks, there's that building word, edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So just a point of instruction, that's what prophecy is supposed to do. There was one time in my church, my parents' church, when I was in Fort Meade, we were there, I was probably 12 or 13, and there was a lady who every time that, during the service, often, she would give a message in tongues and then an interpretation. But the interpretation was always, like, harsh and, like, basically, you know, it was very, very harsh and very, and my mom told me, because I was old enough at this point to remember, that it was almost like the whole service would kind of wilt. Like, they, you know, the presence of God would be so strong, and all of a sudden you would just kind of feel this, like, And my dad, as the pastor, finally had to go and talk to her and say, listen, this is, scripture says that prophecy edifies, exhorts, and comforts. Now, a prophecy can call to action. It can, you know, call people up out of where we are, and it, like today. Like when Janine felt to share the verses, and we were called to repent. A call to repentance can be a very positive thing. Often that's what we need. But in this instance, it was every service, and it was always harsh. And that prophecy, scripturally, is to edify, exhort, and comfort. Do I have another PowerPoint? I can't remember. I think I do. Yes, okay. Edification, building. Now, this is just one of the definitions also of edification. The act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. So, in other words, it's not tearing down, but lifting up. This is so important in the church, that we be building each other. Listen, a lot of people have enough people tearing them down. Now, correction is different than tearing somebody down, and that's another sermon. We know that correction, there's a place for that in the church. But people need to be built up. They need to be encouraged. So, edification. Exhortation, the word actually in the Greek, it means calling near. That is powerful. When we are exhorted, come close to God. Like Pastor Rick was saying this morning, lay stuff and burn it. Let it burn on the altar. Come near to God. And exhortation will call us to come near to Him. Sometimes it'll call us to come near to each other. Families to come near to each other. So it also means persuasive speech, stirring address, and encouragement. Like I said earlier, encouragement, think of to put courage in. To put courage. It's not just flattery, not just, you know, I'm just going to say things because people want to hear it that I don't really believe. No, putting courage in somebody. I see God doing this in you. I see what's happening and what God is accomplishing through what you're doing. That puts courage in people. Not taking courage out, but putting courage in. And comfort, which means consolation, the comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. We've had a lot of words in the services that have given comfort and said, God cares and God knows where you are and he sees you where you are. And I am so grateful. Those of you that are allowing God, the Holy Spirit, to use you in prophecy, it can be a very scary thing to step out and to allow God to speak. And I am grateful that those of you that are speaking are stepping out, because to me, it is a wonderful thing to allow God to speak to us. And so this is what prophecy in the church is supposed to do. And the Bible says that we should covet to prophesy. That word covet, it means to desire strongly, to covet to prophesy. Why? Because we need to be excited to say, God, what do you want to speak through me? And I challenge you, if you have never allowed God the Holy Spirit to speak through you, to give a prophecy through you, to listen, I understand the scariness of speaking out in tongues and giving an interpretation. That used to be so scary for me. And it's still a little scary, you know, but it's less as I have stepped out and as God has enabled me to do it. But we should be aware of God, like, I don't want to step out in the flesh, like, I, you know. So there is an element of reverence, and that's a good thing. But I just want to challenge you, say to God, there's an old song that Rick and I used to sing in Okinawa, and he still says it all the time and sings it lots, you know, in his time with the Lord. And he says, if you can use anything, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart. Speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. And I just challenge you, open yourself up to say, Lord, do you want to speak through me? I have heard some precious prophecies by people who have never given one before, and it might have been four words that they spoke in fear and trepidation. But when God the Holy Spirit is in it, and when it's coming from God, it is powerful. We don't have to add to, and it doesn't have to be... It doesn't have to be a pretty speech. I'm trying to be very careful that when God speaks to me, especially if I'm speaking in prophecy, that I speak what he's saying and then stop. Because sometimes we can feel the need to add to, make it flowery, or, you know, finish it if it seems unfinished. All we have to do is just say what God the Holy Spirit is leading us. But I will tell you this, many times God doesn't give you the whole thing. He might just give you the first four or five words, and you might have to say that, or the first two words, and you might have to say that, and then it might just keep rolling, or it might just be that, and that's okay. I remember still a prophecy that was given in the church years ago, and I actually looked it up and found that it was a scripture, and Thomas, I remember, stood in the back, and he said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. That was scripture that God the Holy Spirit just brought up, and he just spoke it out. So God will speak. And so I just challenge you as his people, just be listening. God, do you want to speak through me? None of us have arrived that we have it all together perfectly. We are a work in progress. But God wants to speak. And I want to show you one more verse. I didn't put it on here, and I'm going to close with this one. Let's see. I have to look it up. It's at the end of 1 Corinthians 14, Philip. I think it's like the last couple of verses. Let's see. No, it's not. Hold on. Okay. Okay, verse 31, 1 Corinthians 14, 31. Well, let's do 24 and 25 first. So 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25, I'm sorry. Okay, but if all of you are prophesying, and unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your meeting, they will be convicted of sin and judged by what you say. And as they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed, and they will fall to their knees and worship God, declaring, God is truly here among you. That has happened here already. But it's happened where people realize, like, oh my goodness, like, how do people know? Like, how do they know what I'm dealing with? But just imagine, as we are all open to the Holy Spirit, not just speaking out in the service, like giving a prophecy in the service, but at the altar or in the foyer or in Sunday school, when God leads you to speak and you feel like, hey, I just feel like God is saying that, you know, you've maybe had a really rough week, but he sees you and he knows what you're going through. Or, hey, I've just really felt to pray for your son or daughter. Are they okay? As we just operate and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and show us things, God will draw people. And not only are we, the body of Christ, encouraged, but people that come in that don't know Jesus are encouraged and realize, man, God is really there. And like I said this morning, people need to see God at work, because he is at work. All right. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for what you are saying and doing among us. We invite you, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. Continue to speak to us, we pray, and help us to be obedient as you lead us, in Jesus' name. Amen.